Well, today's going to be a little bit different this morning because I'm not going to be the preacher. We have missionary Benjamin Gavlik here, back from Uzbekistan, 10 months or so. And he asked if he could share the experiences that the Lord does. We know what he does in our lives, but it's good to see what they do over there. And Uzbekistan, you know, is Muslim, so it's pretty different situation than preaching here. So I will step down and we'll see what the Lord has to say.
Do I need to use this mic too or no? Do I need to speak into this mic as well or no?
No.
Okay.
Just turn that one on. You're good.
Yeah, it's on. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Grandpa. All right. Здравствуйте, меня зовут Бенджамин, меня 24 года, но я очень рад, что мы будем встречать здесь, на Дома Бога, и мы будем читать и учить, что Он хочет. Yeah, that's not tongues, guys. That's Russian. That's Russian. That's what I've been learning over there. Yeah, translator. No. Yeah, that's a little bit of Russian. I just said, hello everyone, my name's Benjamin. I'm 24 years old. I'm the son of my dad, Michael, and grandson of Grandpa. But I said I'm really happy to be here today to talk to you guys in God's house and tell you guys what he's been doing overseas. I have a message before I get into my presentation, because I just think it's important that we look at God's word before we do anything. So, I guess I can tell you guys, if you guys don't already know, how I got here a little bit. So, I grew up in Grants Pass, my family. My dad read the Bible to me. But, of course, in everybody's journey, there comes a time when they decide to put their faith into Jesus Christ. I got baptized when I was 13. I think at that point, I had my faith in Jesus Christ. But it wasn't until later, when I left into the military, I went into the Navy when I was 18 years old. I lived in some different states. And when I lived in Washington, I went through a pretty difficult time in my life with family issues. I lived in my car for about 10 months, and I just wanted to have comfort from the Lord that I didn't feel like I had. And so I don't think I was saved at that point, but I think that was a dedication in my life where I realized, hey, following Christ is more than just saying I'm a Christian. And it's more than just believing that we're saved and we have eternal life through the Father. And so it's about a daily walk with Him, learning. I just thought you were recording. Learning and submitting and being a servant to Him. And so in that moment, I chose to do that, and I wanted to go deeper into the Word and learn and see what God had for my life. And so when I was in high school, I went on some short-term mission trips to Mexico, and I felt God's call in my heart that is what He wanted me to do in my life. And so I was always under the impression that after I graduated high school, I would go and be a missionary. Like, oh, I'll just graduate and I'll go be a missionary. Simple. But as I was closer to graduation, I felt God's call to the Navy, and that was a surprise to me, because I was like, I thought I was supposed to be a missionary. What's going on here? But I can clearly see through all of my experiences that God was shaping me and forming me to be the type of person that He could send overseas, that could thrive in that environment and could share His word among people who are not very receptive or friendly. They're actually very hostile to God's word. And so all of that is to say that God had a plan to send me at a point in my life, but it wasn't when I wanted to go. So I lived overseas for the last 10 months. I lived in the country of Uzbekistan. It's in Central Asia. It's right above Iran. It's to the left of China. Above it is this country, Kazakhstan, and then Russia. And I always forget what's to the left. I think it's Turkmenistan or Tajikistan, one of the two. So it's right in the center of Asia, and it is predominantly Muslim. There are some Orthodox Christians there. I think you could probably use quotation marks for Christian, because the teaching that those people have is just not God's word. And so that's been the last 10 months of my life. I came back about a week ago, and it's been interesting being back. But yeah, I had a conversation with my mom the other day. She picked me up from the airport, and we were talking about how can we know God's call in our life? Because people will talk about, what is God's call? Well, what is that? How do we know what God's call is in our life? And if I were to ask a Christian over in Uzbekistan, I think I would probably get a very supernatural answer. And he's like, oh, well, I would have a prophetic dream, or I would speak in tongues, or there would be some miracle that God would show me this is what I'm supposed to do. And I think personally that the answer is much more principle, and it's much more simple, and I think that God gave us his word so that we would know what his call is for us. He gave us this. And I think it's really easy to just say, oh, well, I know the Bible is God's word, and I read it in the morning, and I know it's true. But to really, really understand that, this is how we know God's call. We know God's call through his word and this, and how he speaks to us each morning that we seek him out. And so I want to look at some verses that God tells us. The first verse I want to look at is Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 is the beginning of a very long book in the Bible. A lot of collection of psalms that are good teachings. But Psalm 1 starts like this. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And so we can see in these first two verses that God is saying, blessed are those people who delight in God's law, in his word. And he says in the first verse, how blessed is the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And we're like, what's the counsel of the wicked? Well, I take that to interpret people's advice, in short. Not believers' advice, but the world. What does the world say as counseling? What do they say is good? What will bring happiness to your life? And I wrote down a whole bunch of a list of what people might say if they were people of the world. They would say, you need a lot of things to have peace in your life and to be happy. You need the newest car, the newest house, clothes. You just need a vacation. You need to go to counseling. You need some pills to help your anxiety. You need to buy this program. And you need to eat these foods that are really good for your health. You need to have this amazing muscular body so you're a real man. That's what I'm told. All these things. This is all the advice of people, of the world. This is all the advice of the wicked. It's not what God says. And so people say, if you do all these things, oh, you'll be happy. You'll have peace in your life. It'll be a good life. But as believers, we know this is not the truth. This is not what God says. God doesn't say any of these things. What does God say? God says, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. And blessed is the person who meditates day and night in his word. Meditates day and night. That's a constant state of thinking about him. Of looking at his word and saying, how can I be with the Lord? And so, there's a passage that I like in Isaiah. It's from chapter 9. You don't have to turn there, but we know in Isaiah 9:6 that it talks about, it's a prophecy about Jesus coming as the Messiah. But in that verse it says, in 9:6 it says, God's name is Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Wonderful Counselor. We know that God is our Eternal Counselor, our Wonderful Counselor. And the way of what people will tell you you need as counseling is a lot different than what God says. And if God is telling us that we should delight in His law, then we should. We should. God is our wonderful counselor. He knows what we need in order to be counseled, to have peace in our hearts. And so, I think it's important that we not only read, but we would take His counseling each and every morning. If we look at verse 3 of the same psalm, it says, He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. So this is talking about the same person that delights in the law of the Lord, the same person that meditates day and night in the Word. It says this person will be like a tree firmly planted. And I'm betting that every single person here wants to be firmly planted by God. Firmly planted. It doesn't sway. It's not uprooted by the rain and storms. If you see any tree that's been standing a while, any big storm is not going to rip it out from the ground, right? It's only when these trees, these roots, they get old and they start rotting and the wind comes and it blows them over. But any tree firmly planted is not going anywhere, no matter how hard the wind blows, okay? This is how we can be firmly planted. This is how God says we can be firmly planted. It's by knowing His Word, by studying your Bible, by reading your Bible, by memorizing your Bible, understanding these things. It's not just a chore. And I can tell you for myself, there's a big period of my time where I looked at reading as like, it's something I should do because I'm a Christian. Oh, okay. I know it's good, and so I know I should do it, and so I'm going to read it each morning, but I don't delight in that. I don't get up each morning saying, I want to spend time with the Lord. I know it's a checkbox that I have to get done for the day. And so I'd encourage everyone that it shouldn't be a checkbox. It should be a delight. I get to spend time reading what God desired me to know, and I get to memorize it and know it by heart. And I think one of the biggest things that changed this for me, that changed that perspective of having it be a checkbox into a delight, is me going overseas in a big part. And I can explain it well like this. I understand that it is impossible to have an effective ministry if you do not delight in God's Word, if you are not seeking to know it better and better each day, because when the rains come, when the storm comes, and people start asking you hard questions, and people say, well, Jesus never said He was God. Okay. That's a big question. That's a hard question. I don't know how many people have had to answer that in their life, because here in America, ministry is a lot different. But over there, it's very hostile. And so someone comes up to you and says, Jesus never said He was God. Well, what do you say to that? Do you know? Do you know if Jesus did say that? Well, He did. He did, but He never said, this is what the Muslim would say, but He never said, I'm God, did He? He never said that. Well, when you delight in the Lord and you delight in His Word, you know that you can see He said, I and the Father are one. You can see that He said, these are my people. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I give eternal life to them. And so there's hundreds of places where Jesus, through the Messiah and through prophecies and even His own words, He said, it's clear Jesus is God. But to someone who's challenging you, where do you go? Where do you go when someone is telling you these things? It's important. And so this is something that really helps me to understand, oh, wow, I have to know God's Word. I have to have it memorized. I have to know where to go to show people, hey, this is the truth. And so another big thing of what changed my perspective on reading God's word is John 15. John 15 says that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, my Father takes away. And any branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean by the word which I have given to you. Abide in me, and I in you. For the branch apart from the vine cannot bear fruit, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we see that Jesus is saying in John 15 that you can't do anything unless you abide in me. You can't do anything. You can't bear any fruit. And that's a real understanding that, wow, I can't do anything without Jesus, without God's word. And so that really changed for me when I memorized that passage, when I went overseas and I saw, hey, if I don't get up in the morning, if I don't spend the time that I need to allow God to have control over my day and for him to show me how I can show that I'm a light of the world and I'm the salt of the earth, then I can't do anything. It's not my own power that brings anybody to Christ. It's his power and his mercy. And we know that God says no one can come to the Father unless he is drawn by him. So these things, they really changed my perspective on how to go about life and how to treat your Bible, how to treat it, and to delight in that and say, okay, Lord, I know I have to abide in you each and every morning, and I have to let you lead my life. And so, alongside the same idea of God's call and how can we know God's call, there's a couple of verses that I want to share that had a big impact on how I saw God's call for me personally. Because going overseas is a call, but everybody has a call. Everybody is called by God in some respect. And so, if you look at Matthew chapter 28, you can go to verses 18 through 20. And we'll read what Jesus says about call. And Jesus came up to them. And mind you, this is Jesus' last words in Matthew, but this is what he says to his disciples. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so Jesus says, go, go. Now, he says to all nations, but this doesn't mean that in our own nation we can't do something. God is telling all of us that we're all disciples and that we all can go as we walk and teach people what Jesus taught us and to show them what God intends for their lives. And so, it's not just the person who goes overseas that Jesus says this to. It's every believer. It's all of us. We're all called to do this. And I think that a lot of times going on missions is glorified in the church, and it's seen as like this big thing, and you come home and you're some sort of hero. But I don't think that's the case. I think that it's a purpose that God has given someone specifically. But we see very clearly here, everyone's call is to do the same thing. This is to all people. So, I think it's important to understand that the location is not as important as what Jesus' word is that everybody is called to go. Everybody is called to make disciples. And so, how in your life are you making disciples? What does that look like? Well, overseas, I would meet with people. Each week, I would make appointments with them, whether it was lunch or coffee or dinner, after classes at the university, whatever it was. But I would make it a point to spend time with people. and just share with them something. Not everything. You can't share everything, but you can share something that you're learning or God is teaching you. And so most times it turned into me sharing something about what I had learned that morning. And so wrapping it full circle, you see that, okay, when you abide in the Word each morning and you're listening to what God teaches you, oh, now I can use that for ministry. Oh, now I can share that with somebody. Not because I was great or anything, but because I let God have the time to work in my life. And so now I can share that with somebody. And I can say, hey, I was reading this morning and it was really interesting for me. And let's read this passage together and tell me what you think. And most times that time that was alone with the Lord, that I was delighting in the Lord, it turned into God allowing that to be an opportunity for ministry. And that was a lot of my ministry over there. Just meeting with people and making it a point to say, hey, I've been learning this and it's really, really interesting. Why don't we look at it together? You know, it's pretty simple. Another verse I have is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. I think this beginning of the chapter is actually one of my go-to verses for sharing with people, because it's kind of like a mini gospel. You know, the beginning, verse 1 and 2, it says, everyone was dead in their trespasses. Everybody walked according to the lusts of their flesh. And then verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. So now you have everyone sinners, okay, but God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins. But look specifically at verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Okay, what do we see in verse 10? We see that we're God's workmanship. Of course, he created each and every one of us. But it says we were created for good works in Christ Jesus. So this didn't happen when we chose to put our faith in Jesus Christ. It says, no, it was God prepared beforehand so we could walk in them. So even before we were born, God had a purpose for us to walk in these good works. He prepared us beforehand so that we would walk in these good works with Jesus Christ. And so this is another call verse, because you can see here clearly that Paul is saying, every single person has good works. God already prepared you. He already created you for. And so, if that's true, then what are those works? What is that call? Does everybody know that? Because sometimes, even in my own life, I didn't know what that was. I knew that there was a purpose. I knew Jesus Christ had died for my sins. But after you receive eternal life, what is the next step? It's to listen to these calls that God has for your life. And so, what are those good works? I know for me specifically, God called me to go to other countries to share the word. That's how I, in my life, I know God created me for that. He's given me gifts so that it's not hard to be away. He sent me through the Navy, so I was used to being away from home. It's normal for me. I don't see my family that often. It's not that big of a deal for me, because I'm used to it, because he prepared me for those good works, just like he prepared each and every one of us. Every single one of us has things that we have been formed into so that he can use us for his glory. And so it's important to know if we have those things and if that's his purpose, then what is it? What is it? You know, pray about it. Meditate on his word. Say, God, please show me what is the works that you created me to do. And I have one more verse. Sorry to flip around everywhere, but Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Kind of have a habit of jumping around. But I think Jeremiah 1 is a really good example, again, of God's call. And let's look at, starting with verse 4 in Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." Consecrated means to be made holy. Okay, so before you were born, I made you holy. "I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." So there's a couple things that we can see that are very similar to these other passages we already looked at. We see that Jeremiah, who had a very difficult calling. He had a very difficult calling. One of the most difficult, I would say, to go to a people who God said would hate him. He said they won't listen to you, but he still had that calling from God. And so, but we see in verse 5 that it's very similar to the last verse we looked at. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I made you holy. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." So God's plan was already in full effect before Jeremiah was born. And all of the years that he was preparing to be, he's preparing to be a priest, I'm pretty sure, not a prophet. But God's plan was different. And so this is well in effect before he was born. Before he chose to do anything, he said, "I have appointed you a prophet to the nation." That was Jeremiah's call. And let's look at verse 6 and 7, because it's interesting. When God's word comes to Jeremiah, what does he immediately say? He says, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak. I'm just a youth. I'm just a youth." That's his response to God's call. He says, "I can't do it, God. You don't know me. I'm just a young guy. I can't do that." And I've got this underlined in my Bible because I feel like it was the same exact thing for me. You know, I feel like years where God was calling me to do something. He was calling me saying, "Hey, I would desire you to do this. I created you to do this." And I was like, "No, God, you don't know me. I'm just a young guy. I can't do that. I'm just a youth," as Jeremiah said. But God says in verse 7, he says, "Do not say I'm just a youth." He says, "Don't say that. Everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak." He says, "No, you don't get to say that to me. I know you. I created you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." He says, "You're going to go everywhere I send you, and you're going to say everything that I tell you." Because he was created for those works. He was created for that. And he even says, "Don't be afraid, for I'm here to deliver you." So we see in all these passages that God has a call for you. He's created you for good works in Christ Jesus. And as we see in Jeremiah, sometimes when we're called, we're like, "No. No, 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 no." That's our first response. "No, God, you don't understand. I can't do that." But God says, just like he said to Jeremiah, "No, you don't get to say that. You don't get to say that. You're going to go and do this." And so I kind of think of the story of Esther, where Esther was put in a position to save her people. And she was kind of like, "No, I can't do that. I'm going to be killed, right? I can't go to the king if he hadn't called me," right? Because that's how it was back then. If the king didn't call you and you demanded an audience with him, you were killed. She's like, "I can't do that." I'm forgetting the guy's name. What was the guy's name that was talking? Yeah. He was like, "You have a responsibility to do this. You have been put in the position to do this. You're the only one who can do it. And if you don't listen to God's call, He's going to use someone else. And it's the same in all of our lives. We can listen to God's call. We can allow Him to use us. Or He's going to go to someone else. But God doesn't want to go to someone else. He wants to go to you. That's why He's calling you. So, it doesn't depend on the location. God's call doesn't depend on the location. Overseas, I told you guys that I would meet with people, and I would I'd get lunch with them. I'd talk to them about stuff, just spiritual things, whatever God's word is. I'd try and share something. And it's important that is not seen as like that's an over there thing. Like I do that overseas, but I'm back home now, so my life's different. I don't think that's the case. I think that it should be a walk, and the walk should be the same regardless of location. And I'll share a story with you. So I came back last week and Ellie has a friend who's really struggling. Her name's Rosie, and she's kind of. She's very leftist, and she kind of, you can tell she's got this disdain for God. She thinks she has a disdain for God, but she's rebelling. And she's got all these problems going on with her, and depression is rampant, and she's on pills and all this stuff, and she looks to the counsel of the world to fix these problems. And so you can very clearly see that the peace of the Lord's not with her, and that's the source of these problems. And so I had made it a point. I told Naila I wanted to meet with her. So we went out and we got lunch. And as Naila said, it was very uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable. She maybe didn't appreciate it very, very much. And a lot of times when people are rebelling against God, they don't like to hear His word because that convicts them. And I know Naila was a little bit worried. I was a little bit worried because when you go into meetings like that, you kind of have a good idea of where it's going to go if you talk about these things. But the important thing is that you do things out of grace and love. And the really loving thing to do is to share, hey, if we abide in Christ, if this is what we believe in, then we have peace, right? Jesus said, come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's how we get that rest. And so we met with her, and I was sharing some stuff, and you could tell from her face she was not very happy. But happiness doesn't have to do with it. Because if you really care about somebody, you're going to want to lovingly share the truth. Now, if you share it out of judgment, you're wrong. You shouldn't be sharing it out of judgment. But if you're coming from a loving place that, hey, I can see you're struggling with this, and I can see you will have no rest unless you come to Christ, then that's important. And so I'd like in my own life, my walk to stay the same. Even being here in the Grants Fast, I'd like to meet with people. I'd like to make disciples like Jesus tells us. I'd like to share what He has given us as commandments. And so I actually got more from her friend than I got from a lot of people in Uzbekistan. After we met, Nelly went to grab something, and it was just me and her, and she said, thank you, Ben. Which is a huge thing because a lot of times you do not get that ever in ministry. You don't really see the fruition of those seeds that you plant. And so I thought that was a huge blessing. I was like, oh, I couldn't believe she said that because, you know, it was a very uncomfortable meeting. But how am I doing on time? Oh, you have my phone. What time is it? 11:53? Okay. Okay, that's all I have for the message. Let me just pray real quick over that. Dear Father, thank you for blessing us with this time. Thank you for allowing me the chance to let you speak this morning. And thank you for all of your blessings that you've done overseas with the people in Uzbekistan. I pray for those people. I pray that every single person that our team shared with, you would be working in their hearts and in their lives as we're away for these 3 months. And I pray that you would draw them to yourself, as we know that's the only way that they can come to you. And I thank you for the people of this church. I thank you for this congregation that's continuously prayed for us. And I know that you hear their prayers and you bless us because of that. And so I ask that as we go forward, we would continue to abide in your word and have delight in your word. Not just check it off, but really love the fact that you gave us everything that we need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I have just a short slideshow. I've got a couple of pictures on here, but this is just some stuff that we were doing over there. Do I have to hit the arrow? I feel like the when I right click it does this. That's not it. Natalie, can you go back there and like hit it?
Here comes
grandma. There we go. Technical help.
Somebody touched you. Somebody messed you up.
Someone got me?
Yep.
Uncle, can you? Oh, okay. I'm fighting you. Okay. Get some assistance here. Okay, yeah, so this is our team. We had four students go over from left to right. That's Mr. Rod. He's our team leader. He's been overseas for like nearly 50 years. So he's worked all over. The team in Uzbekistan is a new team. This was the first year that we had the project there, so it was kind of like a launch. We didn't know what to expect at all, and it was a lot of surprises. And then to the right of her, we have Mari. She's 32. She's done a lot of work in Kazakhstan, which is one of the Central Asian countries next to Uzbekistan. So she came with us, and then there's Robert to the left of me. He is an engineering student. He's 26, and this was his first mission trip. And then there's myself, and Maddie is an art major out of Portland State, and this was also her first mission. So we had a very young team, because even my experience was just short-term spring break trips to Mexico. So this is like a very, very new team. You can go to the next one, Uncle. So we had for myself, I had a lot of ministry to do with basketball. Basketball, there's a lot of interest over there, but nothing is established. So people love and crave sports, but they're not afforded any opportunities for that. So we actually created a boys and a girls team at the school that we were teaching English at. That's the right photo. That's our boys team at the school. And then the two girls on the right side, it's hard to see, but they're actually on our girls team. Those guys were my students mostly. They're in ninth grade, and I was teaching them English, so we were their coach and their teacher. And then we got some guys in there from America, too. And then on the left, this is our university team. So we started a team at the university that we were studying at, and we would practice once a week with those guys, and I set up a bunch of scrimmages with other universities and stuff. And this is kind of like a first in a lifetime experience for them, because there's just no organization over there. It's very lax and everything. So this is one of our big ministries. Like I said earlier, our biggest ministry is just meeting with people, talking to them about Christ, talking to them about, okay, who is God? Do you believe in God? Do you think there's a heaven and hell? Who do you think God is? What do you think He has plans for your life? How do we go to heaven? Stuff like this. It's just general religious questions that people will answer in various different ways, and you can go forward based on that and share something. And so this is a photo from, we had about a month where we had almost no power at our house. Like, it was very on and off. So we had a 2-week split where there was just no power in the winter, and then there was a lot of days where it would be like 4 hours of power, and then it'd cut out for 8, and then it'd come back at night. And so this is one of our, we had invited people over for dinner, for ministry, and then the power went out. And so we're eating dinner by the candlelight here. But yeah, it's really interesting. You can go to the next one. Yeah, this is our team. We went to, this was like a big wedding for the university. And this gentleman on the left side there, he is the founder of the university there. It's like the largest private university in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, and also was the first private university that was allowed to be opened, because the country obviously was a part of the Soviet Union until the collapse of that. And after the collapse of that, there were still only public universities. They kind of had that Soviet system of there's nothing private. So this guy established the first private university. That's the one that we attended. And he's like a bigwig. He's like millionaire, all this stuff. So a lot of times, everything that we do comes from him. So it's a big blessing. He's not a believer, but he allows a lot of stuff for us to happen. And Rod would always say, this is like Daniel Nebuchadnezzar, you know? Like, it's like we've found favor in his eyes. Like, even though he's not a believer, we have favor with this person who's in a high position of power, worldly-wise. And so he's a big deal, but yeah, you can go to the next one. Okay, this is Emmanuel. So Emmanuel, he is one of my guys I've been meeting with since the fall or the winter. I've been meeting for months and months. And so this is one of the guys that we met randomly that was a believer. He's a believer. And so just throughout the months, meeting with him, talking to him about God's word and what it says and how we should be living because of that. And it's sad, but over there, the teaching is very bad. I would not say they're following Christ's teachings in a lot of the churches. It's over there looked at as like a business, and you're not allowed to like start going to churches. They don't accept new people, and they also don't let people leave. And they kind of have this teaching that like if you don't go to church, you're going to go to hell. So it's a very misleading and a deceptive way of teaching, and it's not true. And so he's kind of involved in all that, and I've had lots of conversations with him about speaking in tongues and miracles and everything. Can you go back, Uncle, to Emmanuel? Yeah, anyway, so I spent a lot of time with him. But what's interesting about Emmanuel is I met with him in the fall. We had continued meeting the whole year and everything. And I'm just like teaching him and showing him some stuff. And towards the end of the year, Rod actually met with him in the office. They ran into each other at university. Rod is a pro-rector at the university, so he's got an office and everything, which is kind of crazy that we have the opportunity. So he ran into Emmanuel. He's like, do you have time to talk? And so he was talking in his office, asking him all these questions, and he was saying, he's like, Emmanuel, when, you know, like you grew up with Christian parents, but when do you feel is the moment that you really put your faith in Christ? And what's a specific moment look like? And Emmanuel told him, Rod told me this later, but Emmanuel said, it's when I met with Ben. And Rod told me this, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I had no idea. Like, the whole year had gone by, I had no idea. I had no idea that in his eyes, the time he put his faith in Christ was when I met with him. And so that's not to toot my own horn or anything. I think that is a testimony to how when God calls you to do things, a lot of times you don't see the fruits of your labor. And most times you don't. And you have no idea what's going on in someone's heart. But God calls you to share. And if you're a good servant and you share, then God can work in people's lives. So that was absolutely crazy to me. I could not. And I talked to Emmanuel after, and I was like, you never told me this, anything. Like, I had no idea. And he, I think it, you know, he appreciates so much that I took the time to sit down and talk to him about the Bible and stuff. And so that's why it's nice, because there is some believers, but they need a lot of help. So you kind of walk with them and show them things. Okay, you can go to the next guy. Okay, this is Umid. He's a tall guy. We call him the gentle giant. This guy considers himself a Muslim. We met in the fall as well. He's some of my main guys that I'd meet with. And he considers himself a Muslim. Everyone over there thinks that you're born a Muslim. If you're Uzbek, then you're a Muslim. And there's no difference between your religion and your ethnicity. And so, but Umid's a really nice guy. And so he's not, I wouldn't say he's a bad Muslim. I always told him that. I said, you're a bad Muslim, Umid, you know. So I met with this guy. a lot, probably the most out of any person over there. And we just had a lot of good talks, and he's changed a lot since the first meeting we had to the last. And I ended up giving him a Bible at the end of our time in Uzbek, which are kind of hard to find and they're expensive. But he, at the beginning, was not interested at all. Not interested at all. He's like, Ben, I'm a Muslim. I don't care about this stuff. This stuff is crazy, what you're saying, that God could be a man and he died for our sins and all this stuff. No. And towards the end, you know, he's very, very different, asking me questions about what does it mean to believe in Christ, right? Christ says, anyone who believes in me won't die, but have eternal life. He's asking me questions like, how do we know that we're following God? How do we know that we believe in him? What does that look like? So, insane difference. I think that God's working in his life a lot. So, it's really cool. Is there another one, or is this the last photo? No, there's the last photo. Okay, can you go back to the dinner, the candlelight dinner one? There's a couple other people. So, you can't really see it, but if you see me, to the right of me, is a younger-looking guy. His name's Azeem. I met Azeem at a chicken shop. We were getting dinner for like a team activity, and I was at the market, and we went into this chicken shop we'd never been at, and he was just working there at the cashier. And we didn't order the chicken ahead of time, so it like was going to take a while. I don't remember exactly, but it took like 20 minutes to cook, and so I was just sitting there. And we started talking. He had pretty decent English, and so we were kind of going between Russian and English. And I got his number. Now, he's younger. He was 16 when we met. And in Uzbekistan, it's not illegal to share your faith, but with underage people, it is. And so you can get arrested and go to jail for sharing with people who are not 18. And so he caused me to pray a lot because I had no idea what God wanted from me. I was like this guy. I met with him, and I felt like God wanted me to meet with him one-on-one and share with him. But I was scared. I was like, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do. You have to think about the team there. You're there as a team. You know, you could endanger the whole team if you're doing something on your own. So Rod was pretty cautious at first, but we ended up meeting him. We got dinner. Me, Robert, and Marianne met him, and I shared the gospel with him. I told him, you know, hey, Jesus Christ died for your sins. I was looking at all this stuff. I told him my testimony, and immediately he was responsive, which he is the only person who was responsive. That is a new person through the entire year. And we got him to download a Bible app on his phone, and we were just talking with him. And he said that he was a believer, like the next week. He texted me, he's like, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I was so skeptical. I was like, there's no way. There's just no way this guy is for real right now. I felt like he was riding the high of like this. He had some problems with his parents because his parents are very, very extreme Muslims. And I think that as a teenager, he's already having problems. He's kind of rebellious against them. So I'm like, there's no way this guy is for real. But he was. He was for real because throughout the whole rest of the year, he is just all about everything God. Really reading his Bible, like in the Word all the time, talking to me about verses, about stuff he's learning, coming to church and all this stuff. And so we had a lot of scares with this guy. But yeah, he, I think, is the only person that came to Christ in our 10 months over there. That was a new person that we had met. So I know he looks up to us a lot, and he asks us a lot of questions and stuff. So yeah, he's a really special kid, but gave us a lot of scares, yeah. And then this girl in there has kind of got a similar story. She like was scared to talk to us because she heard that we were Christians, and everyone was like, don't talk to them. They talk about God too much. And then she ended up getting involved in the group, and I think she wouldn't say that she's put her faith in Christ, but she believes. You can definitely tell she believes. She goes to church. She sings the worship songs. She understands her sins are forgiven. At one point, she was asking me, she's like, how do you convert? Like, what's the process to convert religion. So, yeah, so those are just some of the people over there that we had a big effect on, and you can keep them in your prayers. It's a very difficult thing to be in a country where it's not a good thing to come to Christ. It's a very bad thing, and you are completely shunned, and you know, people are aggressive and hostile towards you. And so, kind of the main idea of like Islam, if you know anything about Islam or Muslims, the idea is that there's a couple of main ideas. Jesus can't be God because Jesus is a man, and God can't be a man because God was never born. So Jesus can't be God. That's one huge thing. Two is that someone can't pay for your sins. Everybody is accountable for their own sins. And when you die and you go to see God on Judgment Day, that you are the one who atones for your own sins. No one else can do that. And then another one is that you have to do good deeds to go to heaven. That's the big one. And then you've got like the five pillars, like you have to fast during Ramadan, pilgrimage to Mecca, you know, give money to the poor, all this stuff. My biggest struggle before going over there was thinking, okay, Lord, if Jesus says the only way to the Father is through him, right? He's the only way. So I'm like, if you're the only way, Lord, then why are there so many millions of people that believe in this religion that's false, right? If Jesus is the only way. And so this is something I struggled with before going overseas. I was like, I don't understand this thing. After being there and working with Muslims for nearly a year, I can tell you for a fact that it is no different than when in John 3, Jesus is asked, why do people not believe in you? Like, why do people not believe in you, Jesus? And Jesus says, men love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come to the light for the fear that their sins will be exposed. Right? That's what Jesus says. That's why people don't believe in him. And I can tell you it's the exact same thing of why people are Muslim or why they believe in that. It's the same thing. I think it's the same thing. And so you can see it's not, it's a religion very clearly made by men, for men, for their pleasures. And it's really built on a system of pride, like I'm this great person. I'm this great believer. I do these great things. And so in heaven, I'm going to go and have 70 wives. So not to say that we should be hostile towards them or anything. All of the people there we talked to were Muslim. But that was a big question I had, and I don't have any longer because I can see that, okay, this is the same as if someone is believing in, like, Buddhism or Hinduism or anything. So, yeah, that's a little bit about my ministry. Thank you guys again for all of your prayers. They're really appreciated. Really appreciated. I know we need that more than anything. If you guys like to know more, I have a million stories. A lot of crazy stuff happened. I know you guys know one about our friend who went to jail. It was insane. he's fine, completely fine. He was let go, was not convicted. And he was gone out after like a week or 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks he was back with us. He's been with us for the full year, yeah. And so, trust me, he needs them anyway. He is. He is like our biggest problem child, but he's one of the local. He was the first believer that was a local, and so he's been with us the whole year. He's like my son, basically. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you guys. If you guys feel called to support me, God willing, I'm going back next year, and I could use the support. This last year, I was almost fully self-funded, and it worked because I was working, and God allowed me to save up money. But obviously, this year, I've been away the whole year. So if it's $5 or anything, whatever God calls you, I would appreciate that very much so I can continue and work with these guys over there. But anyway, thank you guys also for letting me speak. It's a blessing. So I'll just break us in prayer. I'm not even done. Thank you, Lord, again for this day. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I know it's such a blessing to be able to serve you. And you tell us that we're blessed when we're persecuted and when people ostracize our names and know that they do that because they They persecuted you first, and so I know that we are blessed to work over there with people who persecute us. And I continue to pray for those people, that you would prepare their hearts, that you would open them up to you, that you would be working in the lives of people overseas and the lives of people here, that people would abide in your word and delight in your word, and that they would seek you day and night. In Jesus' name, amen. I saw brownies back there. I gotta get some brownies. Yeah, he is.
That's some extra bravery.
He's a crazy guy, man. He's always arguing with police officers. I'm like,
you are not helping yourself.